Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. If you have been listening to irishradio.com since 9 o'clock this morning, or for that matter, if you have been listening to the Glucksman Ireland House NYU Irish Radio Hour, then you will know that the host of the program is Dr. Miriam Nyhan. And Dr. Miriam Nyhan, you're very welcome indeed.
Thanks, Adrian. I think it's been a while since I've been on your show, so thank you so much for having me back. It's nice to talk to you.
Some of the best compliments that that you can get, and indeed I meet people all the time, who are well-tuned into your program coming from Glucksman Ireland House at NYU. And I suppose one of the highest compliments you can get from a Mayo friend of mine who says, you know, your one who comes on before you is very good. So what better endorsement can you get than that?
That's a real Irish compliment, Adrian, isn't it?
That's the left-handed compliment. Miriam, let me ask you, first of all, about yourself, your own background. Where were you bred and buttered?
I was born and raised in Arklow County, Wicklow, Adrian. My father worked in the Forestry Service, which became known as Cuilte Teoranta.
Yes.
In the 90s, and he moved to Wicklow in the mid-70s and met and married my mother, who was a Portuguese woman. So I spent most of my childhood, all my childhood, in Arklow, and then went on to college in Dublin initially for a year, and then spent 7 years in Cork City. So people still find my accent a little bit hard to place. There are bits of Arklow in it, and there are bits of Cork. And now when I go back to visit my relations, they say that I sound like a Yank, which Americans find rather funny, because I think I still have a strong accent.
Well, we can say that definitely Corkonians definitely lay claim to you. And I know how sensitive that can be, so I am in no way going to go down that road, other than to say to your listeners in Arklow, in County Wicklow, that I'm delighted to welcome you to the program. Miriam, you indeed received your BA and your master's degrees from University College Cork, and a PhD from European University Institute in Florence. Let me ask you how you became interested in your doctoral research. How did you wind up in that very, what is an interesting area indeed, 20th century immigration to New York and immigration to London?
When I was in Cork, Adrian, I ended up doing my master's research on the Ford plant that opened in Cork City in 1919 and closed in 1984. I ended up writing a social history of the Ford plant and the Ford workers, and a lot of it used oral histories. And when I was doing my Ford research in the early 2000s, I came across a pattern of migration where when work was slow in Cork in the Ford plant and workers were let go periodically,
mm-hmm.
they would a significant proportion of them would take the opportunity to go and work in the next closest Ford plant in Europe, and the closest plant to the Cork one was the plant in Dagenham in Essex in the Greater London area. So over time, this pattern of migration really began as soon as that Dagenham plant opened in the early 1930s, because they brought over some of the foundry workers from Cork to Dagenham. And right throughout the 20th century, Corkonians in particular, and specifically Ford workers, travelled over and back to Dagenham. And so even, you know, by the early 2000s, when I went to Cork City, you'd often hear people being referred to as a Dagenham Yank. That was kind of the light-hearted and sometimes not so light-hearted nickname that was attributed to the men who basically made that journey across to London. So I got interested in the patterns of migration. What I really got interested in, Adrian, was how people not only transplant a sense of Irishness with them when they leave Ireland, I really got interested in those who actually profess or practice a loyalty to even a specific place in Ireland. So in the Ford research, it was the people who were from Cork City, and most of them had strong Ford connections. And then with my doctoral research, I expanded it a little bit more, and I did a comparison of the networks of county associations in New York and London for the people who left Ireland in the 15 years between 1946 and 1961. I think it kind of goes back to your first question, Adrian. I grew up in Wicklow, but my parents were, you know, what we would call in today's terms in the United States, transplants. We always felt like outsiders in Arklow because we weren't 10 generations from the place. So for me, that study of identity, displacement, or how people relate to us, was just, I think, innate in me. I've always had a real interest in that, and I can really empathize with the children of immigrants who grow up, you know, in places outside of their parental homeland. I kind of feel like I can empathize with them a little bit just because of my own background. And, you know, you explain that to non-Irish people sometimes, and they find it fairly difficult to understand how you feel that, when, you know, my parents were both from Ireland. But as I, you know, frequently tell my students when I'm teaching them about patterns of Irish migration, we've had very high levels of migration off the islands of Ireland and out of Ireland. But until relatively recently, and you probably know this yourself, Adrian, from growing up in Ireland, the pattern of internal migration, like movement within the island, was actually quite small. You were much more likely to leave Ireland than you were to actually move somewhere else on the island.
Yeah. I generally tell people half in fun and half in earnest. When I came out to New York in 1959, immigration from Mayo, at that point, there were those who were immigrating to America, some to England, and then the immigrants who were afraid of heights and water wound up in Dublin and in the areas around there to where there was almost a total transplant of the late teenagers who kind of left. They were leaving for somewhere. Many of them wound up in the cities in Ireland because of work opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest somehow traveled further afield.
Well, the Mayo example is a great one, Adrian, because you probably know it. There was for a long time, in fact, I think it's still active, a Mayo Association in Dublin. You've Mayo associations in London, of course, here in New York and in Cleveland and in other parts of the world. So that transplanting of things familiar to home is just, the Mayo example is really great just because there was so much emigration out of the county within Ireland and elsewhere.
Absolutely. Listen, I want to ask you in particular about the oral history. And I want to preface this by saying that I had, and Anya Sheridan, the executive producer, and she who runs everything around here, had many conversations with Loretta Brennan Glucksman, who with her husband Lou, founded Glucksman Ireland House at New York University. And we had, and were always fascinated by the fact that the archives and oral archives was one of the most prominent features of Glucksman Ireland House. And I do know that going back to 2008, in conjunction with Professor Marion Casey and Linda Almeida Dowling, that you took off on a very innovative oral history and established an archive that is second to none in the world in terms of Irish and Irish immigrants. Tell us about that.
Well, Marion and Linda had started collecting oral histories about a year or so before. Well, I mean, they had been doing it much longer themselves in terms of their own research, but the Glucksman Ireland House oral history collection that you're referring to was basically established around 2005 formally, and separately the three of us had used oral history as a major methodology in our own research. And, you know, when you're reconstructing historically the lives of immigrants or their children, oral history is just, you just can't but draw on the richness of oral history. So it was really the brainchild Marion Casey has, you know, as I know I've said this to you before on this program, Adrian, Marion Casey has pioneered the collecting of archival material, both physical evidence in terms of papers and yes, photographs and oral history. And really, you know, it's only in years to come that scholars will fully appreciate what she established in that way. And I was fortuitous to come along and do my oral history for my own doctoral research, which really the interviews I was doing were really fitting for the collection. So we're now at a point, we're 10 years in, we now have 350 oral histories, and they range from people who arrived, as I think probably the most recent arrival is someone I interviewed about 6 years ago who arrived in 2000, right back to people who are sixth, seventh generation Irish American. They're predominantly interviews that are done in the tri-state area, although not exclusively. We've done some degree of systematic interviewing in the Boston area. I've done some in San Francisco, and we've also done some in Ireland with people who spent periods of time living in the United States and have now returned to Ireland. So it's a really rich collection, and it's a real privilege to undertake that kind of research, because you really get to touch people's lives and sit down and ask them, you know, about their experience of coming to this country or what it was like to grow up Irish American in some neighborhood in Queens and things like that. So, it varies as well, Adrian. We have people whose names nobody knows outside of their own families, and then we have some of the bigger names, the well-known Irish personalities. Are Irish Americans, like for example Ed Burns, the film director, filmmaker Gabriel Byrne, New York Times journalist Dan Barry, Colm McCann, Colm Tobin. So it's a whole range of different voices, literally.
This morning on your program, I noticed there that a great figure, historian, Dr. Maureen Murphy was your guest this morning, and you know, to get the kind of guests you get, it's no wonder I'm left with a few jugglers by the time my program comes on. I think that the caliber of guests that you have access to is a tribute not only to yourself, but definitely it is a great tribute to Glucksman Ireland House, and it's fantastic, and we are very happy and were from indeed day one, going back to last summer, the end of the summer last year, when you took over that first hour of programming.
And well, Adrian, if I may, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming to me when I think back about on what Lou and Loretta Glucksman have done for Irish America with that small nugget of an idea. I was just watching some film footage in recent days of Loretta talking about her and Lou discussing in the late 1980s the idea of a Center for Irish and Irish American Studies at NYU. And when you fast forward, we're only 22 years old, and we're founded in 1993, and to imagine, and to, you know, it must have been, I know it was unimaginable to the late Lou and Loretta that Glucksman Ireland House would touch so many lives. In our undergraduate classes, we have our master's program, we have a great public events program. We have an academic journal that is published almost every year. And, you know, now with the radio hour that you and Anya so generously, you know, bestowed on NYU as a gift in every sense of the word, now we can reach out to people who are, you know, they're maybe in the tri-state area and they can't get down to us, or people who are in California or in Ireland and want to know what's going on up on Washington News. And it's just, when I actually think about the generosity of spirit that has culminated in what comes out of that little location, it's a small little building, as you know. It's very beautiful, but it's pretty small. But so much comes out of it. And the radio program has just been a further departure for reaching out to more people.
You know, it doubles back to that compliment again. You're one who comes on before you is very good, too, and rightly so. Can we talk a little bit about the annual dinner, the gala at Glucksman Ireland House? Again, it is an annual dinner, and it's taking place actually this Tuesday evening. It is honoring two amazing characters, Peter Quinn, the writer, and you know, to just characterize Peter Quinn and say he's a writer isn't even scratching the surface. He is an amazing person, and he has indeed a very colorful career himself. Tell us a bit about Peter Quinn.
Well, both are honorees this year, Peter and Ted
Smith. Yeah.
We're so proud that they're both members of the advisory board at Glucksman Ireland House NYU. So we know them both pretty well, but it is a real joy for us to be able to celebrate them. Peter, we will be awarding the Seamus Keeney Prize for Arts and Letters. As you've mentioned, Peter has had a varied career. As he, you know, most famously in his professional career, probably as script writer for Governor Kerry and the late Governor Cuomo. And he has gone on in the last decade and a half or so to become a full-time novelist and has written some amazing books. And we're just so delighted to celebrate him and honour him. He's always so giving. If it's, you know, he's sat down with us and he's done an oral history, or he's come into a class and talked to students, he's just always someone who wants to give back, and he's just a remarkable example of Irish America, and he is a really fitting honoree for the Seamus Heaney Award, because that's the name of that award carries some weight with it, and I can think of nobody who's more suitable than Peter, and he just happens to be a really great guy.
He's all of that. He incidentally went on from that. One of the features of his bio is that actually he was the editorial director, the corporate editorial director at Time Warner, right up until he retired in 2008.
Yes, he's a great guy.
And his many books and novels. You know, Hour of the Cat, Men Who Never Return, Dry Bones. Many of his awards are so well deserved. Ted,
I love about him, Adrian, is I love talking to him about his books or about history. Peter is essentially a historian and a fine historian. I've heard Joe Lee, the director of Dublin Ireland House, and himself an historian, compliment Peter on his skills as a historian, but how he departs into fiction and just lights up the pages with his novels is just a real gift, and I hope he continues to keep to write like that, because it's a real gift.
It is, and of course we know Ted Smith, going back to his diplomatic days. Indeed, he served as an Irish diplomat, the United States, Britain, Geneva, Portugal. He'd been all around the world, and he has carved out a tremendous career for himself, and is now indeed the global head of marketing, communications, and government affairs at McGraw-Hill Financial. Whose brands include the Standard and Poor's. But we know Ted, again, as somebody who has never steered far away from his Irishness. And if you want to talk about giving back, I think both Ted Smith and Peter Quinn are indeed two of the finest examples. And both very busy, but they definitely are a great addition to Glucksman Ireland House, and I, for one, and to many others, are delighted with your choice for this year. Indeed.
Yeah, it's such a privilege to work on helping to put this together, Adrian, because you have two great honorees that people are only too delighted to show support for, and the event is being co-chaired by our wonderful mentor and patron in Loretta Brennan Luxman, and she's co-chairing the event with someone who her big fan of as well, Mary Shanahan, who is well known in the Irish community in New York. They're organizing it with the assistance of the president of our board, Judith McGuire. So these events are a lot of work, but it's a real joy to be working with some creative and imaginative people who, the idea behind the gala, Adrian, is for us to try and build on and continue to build on what we do at Dublin Ireland House in terms of it becoming or being one of the preeminent centres for the study and scholarship of the Irish community, not only in the United States, in Ireland, but the global Irish community. So we can only continue to do that at the level we are doing it, with the continued support of the generous support we get from the gala. So it's really great to be at this point in it and to be celebrating such great people working on it and being honoured.
And you have a great master of ceremonies, Terry Galway, an historian, and indeed an amazing journalist too. It's taking place on this Tuesday evening. We have been mentioning this in our programs, Franz, coming up, but it is coming up on this Tuesday, February 24th. And
yes,
again,
and just so people that may not know, Adrian, it's always a great night. We're really looking forward this year. Joni Madden has agreed to come and perform. So, you know probably Joni much better than I do. There's always fun when Joni's performing, and it's a fun-filled night. I know Terry Galway is going to be just a wonderful MC. So if people are interested in finding out more, they can give Ireland House a call at 212-998-3950, and or just look it up online. You can find information online too.
Yeah. Okay. And again, the website, I want to give yours, Miriam, because I know a lot of people and a lot of your listeners are also listening to our own program here. If you want to get additional information, well, then you can call Miriam at 212-998-3953 or Miriam Nyhan, that's Nyhan, at nyu.edu. Okay, colleague and somebody we are very proud of in terms of you getting giving our program such a great kickstart on Saturday mornings here from 9 to 10. Again, Miriam's program, friends, it's the Glucksman Ireland House NYU Irish Radio Hour, hosted by my guest, Dr. Miriam Nyhan. And again, it's Glucksman Ireland House, the Center for Irish and Irish American Studies, 1 Washington Mews, New York. And again, Mary, good luck. We're looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday. And that telephone number again, friends, for if you are like some more of us and leave everything going to the last minute, well, you can call NYU about the annual gala on this Tuesday evening, 212-998-3950. Miriam, you're delighted. We're delighted to have you on the program.
Thanks, Adrian. The thanks is all ours. It's so nice to talk to you, and I hope it's not too cold for you Tuesday night and that we will see you at the gala.
Oh, fair or foul, we'll be there. Okay.
Thank you.
Dr. Miriam Nyhan, and friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.